We're going to Luke chapter 2 this morning. We're going to start in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people." Verse 11. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Verse 17. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and all they did sing. It was just as the angel had told them. We're also here this morning who had the privilege and opportunity to have a young child, to have a baby. Many ask, what's so special about a baby? What's so special about a little boy? What's so special about Christmas? What's so special about this time? I don't know about you, but every single life that has been brought onto this wonderful and beautiful planet Earth is special. I don't know if you have ever seen a baby that is being born. One of the craziest things in my entire life that I have ever experienced, and I thank God I got to watch it 5 times. And an amazing, wild experience to see life that is being brought into the world. God this morning, God is interesting for some. What do people say about God today? What do people say about the Bible? We know that many say God's not real. God's dead. God is not true. Maybe God is for the weak only. God is for the wimpy. God is for those who are afraid. God's church is nothing more than a glee club full of needy, weird people. This morning, if you were to listen and watch the story of Christmas, the story of everything that God put together, if you were to look at the Old Testament, if you were to look at the New Testament, if you were to look at all the pieces and how they fit and how they work together, you would know and you would understand. And the people who mock God, the people who make fun of God, there is no room for them to speak. Because a lot of times they're speaking out of ignorance and not out of truth. Would you prefer someone tell you the truth or lie to your face? Do you prefer, most of us in here this morning, do we prefer when someone would come and talk to us, if they tell us the truth? Or do we prefer to be lied to? It's like buying a car. How many of us have ever been lied to when we bought a car? When we purchased this thing, it's the best vehicle you will ever have in your life. How many of us have ever bought a used car and we're told things? We want the truth. But how many of us know people have a really hard time saying the truth? We know the Bible says, what did Jesus say lies come from? Come from the devil, the father of lies. Lies are bad. So many people today, they speak out of ignorance and not knowing the truth. Jesus said, you know the truth and the truth will set you free. But so many people speak of what they don't understand, but they speak and act like they know what they're talking about. So many of us want to become or speak and act like we're professors or we're professionals in certain aspects of life. But yet, how many of us also are not a real professor or professional, but we speak and act like we are? There's things in life that we love. There's things in life that we adore. There's things in life that we just are so enamored with. And when we talk about it, We act and speak with passion as an expert in something. So many people today, do they truly know God? Do they truly know the God of the Bible? Do they know the story? Or how many people are acting in ignorance because they don't want the truth? If I confess the truth, I know what God's going to ask of me this morning. God, if you open up your heart, if we open up our heart this morning and allow God to speak the truth, not me, allow God to speak the truth in His Word to every one of us, to listen to the story. This story, it sounds simple, but yet it is so complex. The story in the Bible, it is so complex from beginning to end. The symbolism that fits through the entire book is amazing. And so this morning we open up, as we start to dig into our text, it says there were some shepherds who were tending their sheep or lamb. Many believe that these shepherds were tending the lambs that were outside the temple that would be used to sacrifice for the sins of mankind. How did people view shepherds in this day, 2,000 years ago? Some people viewed shepherds as dishonest, troublemakers, rough, unclean, dangerous. Some people considered shepherds to be shifty, crazy. But to other people, shepherds were seen positively, as positive people. Shepherds, what were their jobs? Shepherds were men who had to find grass and water for their sheep or lambs. These men had to take care of the lambs or sheep. They had to protect them from wild animals. They had to protect them from thieves so that they would not get stolen. These shepherds had to tend to the sheep and lambs, and they had to make sure they did not get sick. If they got wounded, they had to tend to those wounds. Shepherds worked long hours. This was a hard life, and this was a hard job to be a shepherd. And these were the men that God picked His very first birth announcement. These were the men that God picked to reveal the Savior, the Messiah, is born. Why the shepherds? Why men? Again, and it's all about perspective. Some people didn't like them. Some people did. It seemed like they had a hardworking job, that they were, maybe middle class, hardworking, men. Seen by some as great, but seen by others as just lowly, nothing. You're not good for anything in life. Why did God choose to reveal Himself to shepherds? Why did God choose to speak to them? The very first birth announcement to these guys. For the shepherds, when God said, when the angel said to them, "This is a sign, when you see the baby wrapped snugly in cloths, when you see this baby lying in a manger, you will know that this is the Savior." Now, to any one of us, let's really be honest this morning. If God was to ask us to come to this planet to be the Savior of the world, most of us would not choose to be born in a cave where lions sleep, where animals sleep, where animals are, where there is probably pee, let's be honest, and poop, and filth, and stink. If God was to ask something special of us, how many of us would be picky and say, "God, I'll do it, but these are the things that you have to have in place. God, for me to serve you, God, for me to honor you, for me to go to church, I need to have everything lined up. All the ducks got to be in a row." How many of us live life? We tell God what we expect. But we see this picture of a baby who was born, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, wrapped snugly in cloths, lying in a manger, an animal trough. The Savior, God Himself. Unusual circumstances. The scene that is painted. But actually, for the shepherd people, these were men who would appreciate the fact how God did this. If God came to a priest 2,000 years ago and said, "The Savior has been born," he probably would have ran down to the temple and been looking in the church and saying, "Where is he? Where is he?" No, he's not in the temple. He's not in church. He's not in a palace. The Savior, he's down the way in a cave. That priest would not believe He would not believe an angel that a Savior would come, be born. But the story and the shepherds, they understood. They saw the moment. They were able to see and understand how God appeared to them and how God brought Jesus into the world. They understood this. The shepherds, they were in charge of watching after the lambs that were going to be used to sacrifice at the temple. A lamb, a perfect lamb, was used to make an offering and sacrifice for the sins of people. And now God has said to them, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has been born. Understand this moment, the picture, just from the shepherd's point of view, just from their occupational point of view, they understood it. For these men, when they would have a baby lamb, they would also wrap that baby lamb in strips of cloth because they wanted to protect that lamb. They wanted to make sure that lamb was going to grow up and become perfect. Because there's only a perfect lamb that could be offered at the temple for the sins of mankind. They got every part of what God and the angel were saying to them about Jesus, Messiah. Jesus was born similar to his relative from the past. This story described the Jesus being born in a manger in Bethlehem. He was related to someone from the past. He was related to a man named David. For many who considered to be one of the greatest kings of Israel, David started his life as what? A young shepherd boy. And so Jesus, taking over from his relative to become not just the shepherd of Israel, but the shepherd and the savior of the world. These same fields, the same places, all that took place in this story and in this time, there is a new shepherd, his name is Jesus, and he has arrived. John 10:9 says, Jesus said, I'm the gate. Any of those who come through the gate will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. What does a good shepherd do? How many of us love Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. So peaceful, so quiet. He leads me beside peaceful streams. God renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. Even though I walk through the dark valley, I will not be afraid because God is close beside me. His rod, his staff that protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast in the presence of my enemies. You will honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Because I live in the house, and I would live in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. The story that started God speaking this miracle, he spoke to shepherds. God, who considers himself what? A shepherd. God, who Jesus is considered and said about himself that he is the shepherd who sacrifices his life for the sheep. Everything that is said in the Old Testament, everything that is said in the New Testament in this moment speaks God. There's angels, an angel that's given the task. He spoke to Mary, he spoke to Joseph, and now the angel is speaking to the shepherds. You know, every one of us, we're busy. How many of us have seen in life, we're busy at different times, and we're busy at different seasons. The Christmas season, it's different than the Thanksgiving season. We're thinking about turkey in November, and now in December, some of us are thinking prime rib and ham. We are thinking different. We think different in Christmas time than we do at Thanksgiving. We're thinking about gifts. We're thinking about trees. We're thinking about lights. We're thinking about candy canes. It's a different time and it's a different season. There's people who say, I don't celebrate Christmas because December 25th is not the day that Jesus was born. So do you think this morning that God truly doesn't want us to celebrate this next couple of weeks? Because it's not the actual day. It is a day that was picked and assigned. But there's people, maybe the Grinch, Scrooge, they don't want to celebrate. They don't want to spend money. They don't want to give because they got that wallet is glued to their back leg. And they can't, sometimes it's hard to walk because they're so stingy. Christmas time. Does it matter December 25th? Or maybe Christmas time, honestly, is all year round. What we should be celebrating, the greatest gift that God has given to mankind. The angel in this story, bringing light, bringing hope, the glory of heaven is shining all around. You know, Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, because some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Have any of us ever turned on the TV and they said, there's aliens. There's another UFO sighting. It's amazing how many of us have watched so much TV, so many things on our phones, and then it start to see something weird in the sky. Ah, I knew it, there's an alien. Say that. The Bible talks about angels and demons, and I wonder this morning if sometimes we just get glimpses of things in the sky, and people are thinking aliens, but maybe it's an angel or a demon. Maybe spiritually, God is revealing something to us, but yet everybody, how much of the population, they want to believe there's aliens. They want to believe that there are green, slimy characters. Who knows what they look like out there? So many people. There are people who are fanatics about aliens. There are real live aliens. I know it. I live with one. As an angel appears to the shepherds in the story, I have to think it was a crazy moment, because every time an angel appeared, every single person was afraid. Every time an angel appears to someone, they freaked out of their mind. The sighting of this angelic being, they were probably wondering, am I going to die? Next time someone says, I think there's aliens, say, no, it's not aliens, but there are angels and demons. And there are times where God allows us to see something that's beyond our eyesight. There's no aliens, but there is a spiritual world that we can't see. And we get to get glimpses of those at times. Every time an angel appears to someone, the very first thing that the angel says is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If we were truly exceptionally honest with one another this morning, fear is so damaging to every one of us. And how many of us, there are things that we do in life out of fear, and then there are things that we don't do because of fear. Fear is so damaging. Jesus, the Bible, all throughout the Bible, 365 times, do not be afraid. So many people, humanity, over 60% to be exact, have an unreasonable fear that they live with. When I was 5, I was scared of the dark. I don't know about you. I'm not as scared of the dark now, but there are times when the dark is still creepy, right? But I'm not as scared as when I was 5. Fears change over time. Fears change as we grow up. Fears become different. But if over 60% of people struggle with an unreasonable fear, it's why God has said in the Bible 365 times, stop being afraid, because your fear, it's the fear to speak, it's the fear of what I look like, it's the fear if I lose someone or something, it's the fear of being a failure and looking stupid. It is amazing how many fears over and over, and what we do, we allow those fears to build over time. Every single time an angel appears, always says, do not be afraid. Yes, the person's afraid to see an angel because it's this angelic being, but it's also because people, we live with so much fear. We live with so much worry. We live with so much fear, and we don't understand how damaging fear is to our mind, to our heart, to our soul. Fear is damaging. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid. God says, because I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, because I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid to die. It's going to happen, unfortunately, to every single one of us. We shouldn't be afraid to lose someone or something, because it is a part of life. Loss is a part of life. We shouldn't be afraid to stand up and say what God puts on our heart to say, because truthfully, we either fear God or we fear people. Maybe we even fear ourselves. Maybe we fear the outcome. What will people think? What will people say if I stand out and I act what God wants me to do? The angel says to the shepherds, I bring you good news. The Savior, the Messiah, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. It's going to bring salvation and peace. He says, you're going to recognize this by a sign. The baby wraps snugly, nice and cute, lying in a manger. The sign that you will understand. The Savior, humble, human, and on a mission. If there was three words that would be a great set of goals of who we should be and what it should look like, as for Jesus, the statement of him being born and lying in a manger is a picture of being humble, picture of him just being a normal human being, and having a mission. God put us here to live humbly, because when we live humble lives, you know what? Humble lives, they treat people better. People who are proud, people who are selfish, start thinking that everyone on this planet is our servants. You do this for me, you do this for me, you do this for me, you do this for me. Humble people have a heart that is full of humility and understands, I'm a human, you're a human, we're all just humans placed on this earth. The sign, the Savior, this picture, Jesus was born a humble little baby boy. And he was born human. He was God and he was human. This little baby was born with a mission to be the Lamb of God, to be the sacrifice offering of our sins. To embrace Jesus in all acts of life. As the angel said this to the shepherds, he says, instantly there was an army of heaven that appeared. There was the alien sighting again. And they were praising God, giving glory to God in the highest. I had to imagine that picture of an army of heaven. All of a sudden, all of these angels that appeared, and this was God's army appearing. And what did they do? They started to praise God. They were saying, God is sovereign. God is powerful. God is mighty. God is bringing peace on earth to whom God is pleased. Peace on earth to whom God is pleased. You know, peace on earth was offered to everybody, but it's only to those who embraced the gift that God has given. Peace is offered to everybody, but it's not fully embraced by everybody. Peace was offered by God for every single person in humanity, but not everybody embraces God's gift. This peace on earth, deeper than what I can dream or what you can imagine, peace isn't just the absence of war. In the 60s, we know that the hippies, they all had those peace signs, peace, love, and other things, right? They were speaking of life, absence of war, and things that didn't look so chaotic. Peace is far deeper than all of those things. Peace, the peace of God that is spoken in here, can only be received by believing in Jesus Christ. The peace that comes from heaven, it's a peace that every one of our hearts desires. The peace that's from above. The peace that I can give you. The peace that you can give to your neighbor. The peace. The friendship. The kindness. It only goes so far. But the peace that comes from up above, it transcends every single thing that we need and want. As soon as the armies of heaven stop praising God, the shepherds look at each other and they say, let's go. There was an immediate desire to see what the angels were talking about. There was an immediate desire to go and see this baby boy. This immediate desire. I'm not going to put him off another day. I'm not going. God has spoken to me. God has appeared to me. I'm not going to put him off. Let's go right now. I can't say how many times in my life, young and older, when I felt like I heard God say something, where I felt like God was speaking to me. Maybe I was reading the Bible. Maybe I was listening to Air One and worship music. Maybe I was listening to Air One before it was all worship and it was still Christian music. Maybe I was just walking and praying and I felt like God said something to me. Have you ever been in that moment of listening and seeing and seeking and God says, this is something you should do. This is somewhere you should go. And how many of us, kind of like we, when we were kids and we put our parents up, I'll clean my room tomorrow. I'm going to do my homework tomorrow. I'm going to do that next week, teacher. How many of us put God off in the same way? God, I know you want me to do this, but can I get to that next week? The shepherds in the story, they understood the power of the moment. And what is understanding the power of the moment? You're willing to do something about it right now. When we understand the power of the moment in Christmas, the three wise men, when we understand the power of the moment through the shepherds, when we understand the power of the moment of God revealing himself to mankind to be born and to be laid in a manger, when we understand how powerful, mighty, loving, kind God is, it should stir something in us. I'm not going to wait another second. I have to do this for God right now. The shepherds immediately got up to go see everyone. As soon as they got there, what did they do? They started telling everybody. This is what the angels just spoke to us. This is. They were so excited to tell people. They were so excited to share the message. The message that came from up above. Many of us in life, unfortunately, sometimes we allow life to turn us into people who only look and long for comfort. Life should be comfortable. Life should be easy. Life should give me every single thing that I need. Now, typically, it's not what comes out of our mouth. We don't go to our bosses and say, life, I want my life to be comfortable and easy, so you have to be nice to me. If you were to say that to your boss, if you were to say that to your spouse, if you were to say that to your kids, you need to do every single thing that I tell you so that you make my life comfortable and easy. But honestly, let's be honest, without speaking it out loud, this is how we live our life. We expect everyone to help bring us comfort and peace. Our expectations of ourselves and other people. Our verse this morning, tithes and offerings, trust the Lord with all your heart. We expect people to trust us. We expect automatically, I have earned and should have earned the right and respect to be trusted by everybody, everywhere I go and everything that I do. The silent expectations that we have as humans, asking, looking, seeking comfort. This story, shepherds, a baby being born in a manger, was that comfortable? Probably not. Was it comfortable to be laid little straw in a manger for animals to drink from? I don't think there was anything comfortable about that moment. And maybe sometimes in life we're missing what God wants us to do, and we're missing the blessing of God, and we're missing the healing of God, and we're missing the provision from God because we want it our way. This is my way. This is what I've learned. The shepherds, their occupation, they watched lambs and sheep. So God, you need to honor me because this is what I do for a living. This is me. This is who I am. I only can do this. Do you think that's honestly how God views you just by what you've learned in life and your occupation? Sometimes it's what we view ourselves. Fortunately, I'm a salesperson. I don't sell used cars to people, right? I sell food. Food is an important, vital part of life. And how many salespeople viewed as weirdos? I'll never forget this little town I sell food to. There was a salesman who was a competitor. And it was a new salesperson that came to this little town. And when they came to town, there was two customers, good-sized customers, that, because a lot of salespeople, let's be honest, not just salespeople, but a lot of people lie. But they thought that they were going to get and maintain their customers by lying to them. Because sometimes, let's be honest, we lie to keep ourselves out of what? Trouble. So they lied to these two customers. And within the same week, I took these two customers from my competitor because he lied to them. Do you think it's better to just be honest? Or do you think it's better, little lie don't here, little lie don't there, right? Who cares? A lie. Who does it say Jesus said is the father of lies? The devil, right? Is it comfortable to tell the truth all the time? No. It's harder to tell the truth. It's harder to be honest. We gain in life by doing the things that God puts us here. Is it always easy and comfortable? Absolutely not. Was any part of this birth easy and comfortable? Was there any part of the story that was easy and comfortable? God asked us. I want everybody in my life to do, to see, and to be a part of something that's bigger than us, bigger than this, bigger than the town we live in, bigger than this wonderful planet. I want everyone in my life to see the blessing and the hand of God and the provision of God and the healing of God. It doesn't mean it happens the way that I tell you it's going to. It doesn't mean it happens just because I want it to. You also have to want to see the blessing and provision and the healing of God. You also have to desire the things of God for God to give those to every one of us. Was life ever easy and perfect? For the shepherds in the story, the message they had is there was an angel who appeared. And this is what the angel said. How many people have you ever heard said, God just told me this, and I need to tell you that? Sounds a little freaky. Sounds a little weird. And sometimes it's true, and sometimes it's not true, to be honest with you. Some people think they hear God speak, but it's only themselves, and they're talking with themselves, and they think it's God. Sometimes people have dreams and think this is a God-given dream. Not necessarily. It's a proven fact that many dreams are from our subconscious. They could come from a place we went out to eat. It could be someone that we bumped into. It could be something that we saw on our phone before bed. It's amazing how many people, they will take the things that they want and say, this is God, because it fits them. We want God to fit our lifestyle. We want God to fit us. But is that really honestly the way that it should be? Mary, she hears all these things. Of course, she's excited. It says that she kept and she held and she treasured all these words that were spoken about her baby Jesus, every single thing. And it says that she thought about them often. It's a proven fact that many of us, there's a word that a teacher could have said it was 20 years ago. And how many of us remember specifically that exact thing that a teacher, that a mom, that a dad said to us from 20 years ago? We hold on to things from the past, and we are so good at it. It's one of those things that we become professionals at. Let's be honest with you. How many of us, we're not going to admit it, have something from the past that we can recollect right now? A word, a deed that someone said or did to me. One of the things that Mary did, and it's something that speaks to us this morning, she treasured in her heart, she kept, she hid, she treasured, and she reminded herself often words about Jesus. Jesus is life. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus came to give a good life. Jesus is the resurrection of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is freedom. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. Is it better for us to recollect maybe the things of Jesus or things that happened in the past, even just yesterday? How many of us, let's be honest this morning, we keep holding on to things and they're not helping us. They're actually dragging us the other way. The Bible, the writer of Proverbs, what you speak brings life or brings death. It brings life or brings death. If we're constantly talking and sharing negative things and negative feelings, you know what's going to happen? A bunch of negativity. And it's not just, well, I'm a, you know, kind of person that looks at a glass, it's always half full. It's not about being positive or negative, but it's understanding I don't have a grip on my mouth and what I'm speaking is actually hurting me and other people. To treasure the words and the person of life. Isn't that our greatest thing? We're living. Are all of us in here? Yes, we're happy to be alive. We were born and we were given the opportunity to life, to be alive. We are alive. We're living and we're breathing. Our primary goal should be, I should continue to give life to myself, to allow myself to be alive, to allow other people to know the words of life, to be alive as well. That's why the writer of Proverbs said, guard your heart above everything, because it determines the course of your life. Mary learned to treasure the words of God in her heart, and she kept them there, and she went over it often. Keep the words of God, keep the words of life in your heart, over and over and over again. So this morning, as we start to wrap up, the shepherds, their story, so many things that it speaks, and so many things that we can learn and remind ourselves before we get out of here today. Number one, God picked shepherds to go and see baby Jesus. He picked every day, ordinary, hardworking people to be some of the first evangelists to speak the message of God. Most of us in here, we are all excellent, we're fine, amazing people. But as God picked shepherds, He's also picked us. God's picked you. God's picked you. God's picked me. As He picked them, everywhere we go in everything that we do, it doesn't mean some of us are better at talking and running our mouths than others. It doesn't mean that we run our mouth 24/7 and we don't ever shut up. But God wants us to understand this morning, this time in this season, there's no better time to share with someone the story of God. God is amazing. God is a creator. God is our Savior. God gave His life for us. God's not my crutch. I don't believe because my parents went to church and I went to church as a kid. I'm not here because I believe just because that's how I was brought up. I know for myself. I know and I believe for myself in God. God is real. God gave us His Son. Read the story for yourself. God picked shepherds. And not that I'm comparing us to shepherds this morning, but God's picking you as well. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, God has picked us to be the messengers of this story. This message that God gave to them, to us to share, that there's a Savior, that there's a Messiah, that the Lamb of God. We know 2,000 years ago, you know what kind of Savior people wanted? They wanted a political Savior, and they wanted a Savior that would save them from sickness and physical hardship. 2,000 years ago, and this blows my mind, because let's be honest with you, how many of us and how many people who go to church are still looking for those three things? I need a political Savior, not happy with who's here, not happy who used to be here, not happy who's going to be next. How many people, and even believers and sons and daughters of God, we're still looking for a political Savior? That's some believers, that's all they talk about are politics. No offense to anybody, but some people, that's all they talk about. 2,000 years ago, that's what they were talking about then. There were people wanting a political Savior. And then there was other people. They wanted their Savior to just be able to heal them from sickness and from physical hardship. So what we fail to forget as humans sometimes is we need God. I want God. But He needs to be the God that meets my needs. I'm not here to do what He asked me to do. God's here to do what I want Him to do. He's going to save me from these people. He's going to save me from being sick. He's going to save me from physical hardship. How many of us have ever known people, believers and Christians, who when life is good, praise God. When life is bad, God, I don't like you anymore. When life is going phenomenal, right? We can give a little money to church. Everything's great. But if life is bad and life is hard, how many people, they can't get out of that in their head. And so, God, I'm only going to like you when it's good. I'm only going to follow you when life is great. I'm only going to do for you when everything in my life is perfect and lined up. There were so many people who did not see Jesus 2,000 years ago because of the expectations of what they thought He should be. And how many people today are still not seeing Jesus because of the same expectations? Jesus doesn't meet my expectations because I need Him to do this for me. And that's not what He did. It's not what He did. So many people were ignorant and they could not see Jesus because of their expectations. This morning, the shepherds, they recognized the magnitude of the moment that they were in. The shepherds in the story, they recognized ordinary, everyday men. God picked us. We see it. We're a part of it. We see it. We're a part of it. They were able to recognize. Have you ever seen somebody, if you ever ran into somebody, because Hammond's such a big town, that maybe you knew 10 years ago, and you like barely recognize them? Like, okay, I can see a couple more wrinkles. I can kind of see, you recognize. We don't recognize God moments sometimes. One, because we're too busy. Two, because we're too distracted. Or three, we don't recognize God moments because it's not how we think God would show up. They didn't think God would come to a Virgin Mary. They didn't think that God would be born in a manger. They didn't think that Jesus was just going to be a normal guy. He looked normal. He dressed normal. He was part of a poor family. People, all the things about Jesus, it didn't line up. It didn't. So not everyone could recognize Jesus the Messiah because they couldn't recognize the moment. This Christmas season, it's 2025, 2026 is right around the corner. And we have to ask ourselves in 2025, how many God moments did I have this year? How many people would admit there was some moments I was afraid, some moments I was worried, some moments I was really depressed, some moments I was strapped for this, going through this. So many things that we could admit. But how many of us took time and recognized the God moments every single day, 365 times, that God is revealing himself to me. As soon as I wake up, the sun is shining. God gives me air to breathe. God revealing himself to me. 2025 is gone. And so the shepherds teach us this morning to recognize the magnitude of each moment that God gives us every single day. Peace. It's one of the things that the angels said. There was a man at this time, his name Augustus. And Augustus said to everyone, I'm a savior, I'm a God, because look at all the peace I've brought to Rome. Look at all the peace that I brought to everywhere. This man conquered and killed so many people. And you know what he did? After he conquered and killed different kings in different towns, he took control of people's lives. He said, I'm a savior, I'm a God, and I have brought peace to everybody. The peace this morning that this story talks about, the peace this morning that God gives, it's a peace that conquers sin and death. Well, I'm not a sinner. You're not a sinner. You've never sinned. You've never wanted something else that somebody had. You've never said God's name in vain by accident. You've never wanted to hurt somebody. You never got angry with somebody. Jesus, the peace that he gives, he conquers sin and death, and only he can give it. The angel said, the peace I give you. And it says, God will give peace to whom he is pleased. You might hear that and think, that sounds kind of weird that God's only going to give peace to those that he is pleased. But how many of us as parents, or even humans, the things that we give to other people, it's the people that what we choose to give to other people. I'm going to give you this, but it's a choice that I make. Some people hear and thank God and say, why does God do this? Why does God, when they don't really realize, sometimes we don't realize, I'm the exact same way. I give to who I want to give to. And so this morning, we're going to close up. We're going to wrap up. I do have one other verse. But 1 out of 5 people in America have a mental struggle today. Half of Americans have all faced some type of mental struggle in their life this morning. For many people, peace is what I'm looking for, to this mental struggle, this financial struggle, this health struggle, this life struggle that I'm in. So many people are looking, but they're looking in all the wrong places. God is the only way. Jesus is the only key and answer to life. In the story, we see that the angels, They worshiped God and they praised God in the highest heaven. How many of us love music in here? How many of us would say, I love music? Some of us are gifted with the ability to play music and sing. Others, we only wish that we could play and sing, but we don't. But realize this morning, one last thing of this story. The angels, the shepherds, they all did one thing. They worshiped God. Everything that you do in life, it represents worship. Whatever station you put on, it's worship music. It just depends who you're worshiping. There are things, if you listen to every single song, every single artist, they are worshiping someone, something, or even themselves. The story today, this Christmas time, this Christmas season, it's not about worshiping some things or someone or even ourselves. This time, this period, it's about worshiping God. Because he gave us the greatest gift that's been given to mankind. He gave us Jesus Christ. All music, all songs are worship. It just depends what they're directed to. All songs, all music is worship. Just depends who and what we're choosing to worship. And so my closing verse this morning, Luke 15:1. Tax collectors, other notorious sinners, came to listen to Jesus teach. That made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associated with such horrible people, even eating with them. Hundreds. Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99, the others in the wilderness, to go search for the one that is lost until he ends it? When he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God. There is so much joy in heaven over one lost sinner. God this morning has a reckless love for every one of us. God has a reckless love that is described as he would leave 99 sheep behind to come find a lost heart that is broken. If over 60% of Americans have struggled with depression and anxiety and mental, there's just something I can't get past. There's something from my past I just can't get by. I can't get past this line. God, this morning, in this moment, in this story, to understand, he is recklessly trying to drive you down. Number one, God wants to know, am I saved? Are you saved? God wants to know, okay, if you're saved and you've accepted the story and the message and the good news in your heart, am I following? Am I then following in what the story and the message has been laid out to me? God is recklessly, how important is truth? It is the most important thing in the world because it's the truth that sets us free. Is there any truth that I don't want to hear? Is there any truth I don't want to hear from God? Is there anything recklessly God is trying to get into my head and I just keep pushing it away because it doesn't fit my schedule, because it doesn't fit my life, doesn't fit my occupation, doesn't fit who I am? Am I saved? Am I following? Am I willing to hear the truth and what God wants me to see this morning? This is an amazing day. It's an amazing time of year. It's an amazing season because we celebrate the greatest gift given ever. Things that are valuable, things that mean a lot. It's not just in gifts. Not just in the cars we drive and the houses that we live. But everyone wants to live life. God, I want to live. I want to enjoy this moment to the fullest. I want to enjoy every single thing. And you know what the weird thing is? You will never be able to fully enjoy every moment unless we are fully living for God, the King. This morning, let's pray.